Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network and by GoPSURV.com, the best single-game RV value in Happy Valley. Check them out, GoPSURV.com, all kinds of cool amenities there. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Greg Pickle continuing to talk about the weekend in the Big Ten, and I think it's fair to kind of wonder, not only did Penn State lose, Wisconsin goes down, and you have some narratives start to change. So that's where I want to start, Greg, is with the whole narrative thing.
Is it Indiana, Indiana? No.
I don't know whether you want to pull that to it. So James Franklin's weekly tweet, I don't think a lot of people were in the mood to see
where Penn State's focus was. That is correct.
not a lot of people responding to that very kindly. But for this conversation, I think I'm just going to put a blanket statement out there that Penn State has slipped out of the elite tier for this season, out of the college football tier, out of the Big Ten championship hopefuls with a second loss to Michigan State, also lost to Ohio State. At the same time, Michigan might be getting into it, and it's going to create, I think, a fun dynamic the rest of the way. It just doesn't include Penn State. They beat Wisconsin. So just like Penn State – their loss to Michigan State was made worse by the style of it,
yeah,
and by the way it looked and the way it felt and the fact that they've done this before. Michigan, they beat Wisconsin 38-13. Shea Patterson has a nice day. Their defense comes to play. They ran for 320 yards, and now a lot of people are wondering, and I think it's fair, can they play with Ohio State? I think they might be able to. I will say this, though, their game at the end of the year, their rivalry game, will be in Columbus this year.
Yeah, it's a big difference for sure. But, yeah, I was wrong, I guess, about Shea Patterson, about this Michigan offense. Or maybe I was wrong about Wisconsin now. When we did the Big Ten look ahead back in the summer, I was convinced that this was the year that I'm wrong about so many things this college football season. It's truly miraculous. But
it's what makes doing stuff like this brutal, but what makes it fun.
Exactly. I mean, I was convinced that Wisconsin, this was their year to win the Big Ten title. And, you know, one of the things I said was, if this isn't a year, that they're not going to have a year. And I guess we're at that point. I guess that, Alex Hornibrook puke. I mean, Jonathan Taylor, I mean, he's been okay, but he's been a little bit disappointing as far as I'm concerned. I mean, the whole offense as a whole has just been not really what I think most thought it would be. And then as for Michigan, I mean, goodness, that they look like just an absolute terror right now. I mean, 38-13, they score 17 fourth quarter points to put the game away. Shea Patterson doesn't have to do a ton in this game. He's just 14-21 for 124 yards. It's actually pretty putrid, but that was fine because Michigan ran for 320 yards against what most thought was a pretty good defense that Wisconsin brought into the Big House.
And I think it wasn't Shea Patterson's passing that really – 9 carries for 90 yards. I think there was some tone setting. He made key timely plays. And I think this was one of the criticisms – the last we really got into Michigan was when they lost to Notre Dame to start the year. And it did not look pretty, and it didn't look very imaginative. It didn't look like they were capitalizing on Shea Patterson's skill set. At that point in time, it's 1 week into the season, and I think what happened was that fit into, the way that Michigan struggled a little bit in 2017, and that perception started building, just like right now the perception about James Franklin is building, but they've since made some adjustments, and I think the fact that they were willing and they went back to the drawing board and they started using Shea Patterson's natural dual threat gifts,
yeah,
if they're going to continue to do that, that's what makes them dangerous. It'll be interesting. They beat Wisconsin. They are going to Michigan State this weekend. So that one takes on a different shape.
Wasn't it the same time this time last year when Penn State played in Indiana and Michigan lost to Michigan State? I feel like that was just about this time last year. Penn State was roughly either playing Purdue or, I remember watching it in an Indianapolis hotel. So we were there for some reason. I'm not terribly sure why at this point, but, if Michigan State beats Michigan, then maybe you look at Penn State's loss to Michigan State a little bit differently. However, I don't think that's going to be the case. I mean, that is just, you know, a Michigan team is firing on all cylinders right now. And Mark D'Antonio even admitted that his team squeaked by Penn State. A squeaking by is not going to beat Michigan at this point, I don't think. So we'll see. I mean, an early point spread on that game, I'm sure, is out. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but I would have to think Michigan's probably favored, and they should be because they are definitely the better team in that matchup, and they go to Michigan State a 7-point favorite ahead of that noon game.
So here's what I think makes Michigan dangerous. It's that defense of theirs at every layer. You look at Chase Winovich and Rayshon Gary. You look at the linebackers. You look at the defensive backs where they're experienced and they're pretty talented too. At every level, they've got several really good players, and it's a defense that can smother you. I think the linebackers are the driving force behind that. But their offense doesn't need to do all that much. Their offense just has to do what they do, which is, you know, run the ball down your throat effectively and have a experienced dual threat in Shea Patterson move the chains for you.
Right.
If they're doing that and that's the formula, they are capable of winning games. And I think if you look at what Ohio State's vulnerabilities are, which, you know, you saw them kind of firsthand at Beaver Stadium, they don't stop the run particularly well. They did against Penn State. Uh-huh. But on paper, this is not an elite run defense. I think there's people in Columbus who are complaining about the defensive scheme a little bit, or maybe it's not the upper echelon Ohio State defense. So they can be had in some regards. And then, you know, I think it falls into where Michigan has some strengths. So it'll be interesting along the way. But Michigan does have to go to Michigan State. They do have to beat Penn State at home before you can really get too far down the road on this team. But 38-13 will do that, beating Wisconsin. Disappointing for Wisconsin. Penn State also gets them later in the year. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I was at one point – I was feeling pretty good about the fact that Penn State would lose I thought Wisconsin would be a more likely loss than Michigan. That's certainly flipped now. There's no question about it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I felt like going on the road to Michigan was always going to be trouble. I was not that concerned in some respects about Wisconsin because you get them at home.
Should we be concerned about Rutgers and whether they should still be in the Big Ten?
Oh, well, yeah.
I guess I jumped ahead a little bit there, but holy Laura.
I couldn't wait to talk about that number.
Oh, my God. I really do not have any interest in going to Piscataway, New Jersey at the end of November. I don't.
Good thing you don't have a choice.
I know, but oh my goodness, is that team bad.
So the number.
They might have one of us come out and play quarterback. They could have a drawing for
could
fans.
Could it be worse?
No.
Here's the number. All right. So 34-7, they lose to Maryland. Maryland, you know, the box score all around was a brutal thing to look at. But Art Sikalski, Gio Risigno combined 2 out of 17 passing for 8 yards and 5 interceptions in that game.
It was one of the – and the crazy thing was the time possession was almost even. And Rutgers had only 2 less first downs than Maryland.
What is going on? How in this day and age? So Rutgers, I think you do make a case to banish them from the Big Ten. Get your TV market someplace else.
Good thing the New York TV market was brought in to see that. Yeah. Oh, my God. It's horrible. It's not even football they're playing down there. I mean – you can so I was against the people that were saying that Chris Ash needed to be fired because, in my opinion, it doesn't really do you any good to keep having turnover. But, Dustin, how bad does this have to get before he's gone? I mean,
I'm in that boat, too. I felt like last year there was that feel where they were getting the most out of what they had.
Yeah.
And if they can do better with the talent base, then maybe the program can start getting pointed in the right direction. This is a big step backwards.
The whole season's been a big step backwards. So they've been terrible in every game this year.
I don't think Chris Ash is going to survive this. I'll put it that way.
Speaking of surviving, how in the world is DJ Durkin still technically the head coach of Maryland football?
I don't know.
What happened to the investigation? I am baffled.
Yeah, it's still – everything's still in limbo there. Talking Big Ten football here on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by tailgatewine.com. They have some awesome wines to choose from. Get them at every Penn State home game at the gopsurv.com lot. You can also check them out at tailgatewine.com. What else?
I have a question.
Yeah.
What would be less enjoyable to watch, a rematch of Rutgers-Kansas or Rutgers-Nebraska?
Boy. I mean, what about Rutgers and Maryland?
Well, I mean, that was pretty bad.
Yeah.
But I think Nebraska...
Can we just say any Rutgers game?
I think Maryland might beat Nebraska. I mean, everyone was so excited about the Scott Frost era, and I know that they have some things going on out there that has not made it easy, but that loss to your boy Pat Fitzgerald was as gut-wrenching of a loss as you can find outside of, you know, obviously Penn State's loss.
Inventing ways to lose.
Yeah, they do.
Inventing ways to lose. And that's, you know, they're, what, 0-6 now. I believe that in the long term that Nebraska is going to be very good under Scott Frost. It's hard to believe that when you're in the early stages, but the fact of the matter is he did not inherit much. He did not inherit much at all, and this is a pretty full-scale rebuild, the likes of which are, I guess, kind of in line with where Penn State was. Penn State managed its way through. James Franklin won games early, beat the teams he was supposed to beat. It's a little uglier there for Nebraska, but I think in the end, once everything starts to get put in place there, which we know full well, the uphill battle it is to build a program from the ground floor.
It does have a little bit of that Harbaugh Michigan feeling, though, where there was so much fanfare when Scott Frost was hired people are rooting against Nebraska for that reason and that reason only.
But, I mean, I think flawed expectations from the start shouldn't change what we think.
Agreed.
But this is an ugly 0-6. I will 100% give that to you. They're up 10 points with a little over 5.5 minutes left. Northwestern kicks a field goal. Nebraska ends up, I think, punting it away, and Northwestern takes it over at their own one, goes 99 yards for the tying touchdown. And once that happens, once they tie the game up, then they go into overtime, and you just know
you
Nebraska's
going to
lose.
Ended,
they set the stage that they were going to lose that game, and they, you know, I don't think it was that big surprise that they did. Looking at Iowa, Indiana, 42-16. I was, you know, sneaky 5-1 or whatever now, and Indiana giving up some points. And I think that's one thing that, and I'm sure we'll talk about later in the week, but they give up 6 touchdown passes to Nate Stanley in this game. Ohio State 30-14 over Minnesota. Ohio State looked a little bit vulnerable in the early stage of that game, which is kind of a trend of their own. They end up taking over. But Minnesota led 14-10 late in the first half before Ohio State turns it on. It's something to keep watching as the season progresses. Ohio State is the Big Ten's best hope right now, obviously, for the college football playoff. And they have some chinks in the armor.
They sure do. They sure do. There's no question about it. I mean, there's definitely a feeling that they aren't firing on all cylinders yet, but you just wonder what all cylinders would even look like.
And if they navigate the Big Ten unbeaten, they will be in the college football playoff. 396 total yards to Minnesota team. Not great. Something worth watching, especially in the context of getting that matchup against Michigan later in the year. All right, we're going to expand our college football playoff scope a little bit, look around the country, and a pretty wild weeks in college football come up after this. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.